Senate will come to order. Roll call by the Chief Clerk.
Roll call for Friday, February 13th. Anderson.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
DeCaria.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Honeycutt.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Martin.
Here.
Massey.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Sessions.
Here.
Townsend.
Here.
Basie.
Here.
Von Flatern.
Here.
President Hines.
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by Pastor Nelson.
As we begin this morning, I would invite you to take just a second and think of something for which you are thankful. Parent, spouse, child, house, job, whatever. But just kind of think of that and hold that in the front of your mind for a moment. Lord, we are rich. You have given us so much. We have homes and jobs. We have people who love us and whom we love. We have cars and homes and computers. We have donuts on our desk and money in our pockets to buy lunch. We live in a state filled with natural beauty, from windswept prairies to snow-capped mountains. We have abundant natural resources of sun and wind and coal and natural gas. We live in a country that offers us freedoms and opportunities that people in other countries only dream about. Lord, we're rich. And so we pause a moment. And we consider all we have and all that you have given us. And we say thank you. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading, correction, and approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports a journal of February the 12th, 2009, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Dockstader, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Doctor of the day is Jerry Gardner. D.O. from Cheyenne, and the nurse for the day is Ann Riga, Campbell County Memorial Hospital. Thought of the day, being defeated is a temporary condition. Giving up is what makes it permanent. Reports from standing committees.
February the 13th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 41, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Hastert, Honeycutt, Landon, Schiffer, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 13th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 100, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Bebout, Geis, Jennings, Johnson, and Vasey, Senator Geis, Chairman. February the 13th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 198, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Bebout, Geis, Jennings, Johnson, and Vasey, Senator Geis, Chairman.
Bills on the second reading. House Bill 11, second reading of the bill.
Dogs chasing wildlife.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read the amendment?
House Bill number 11, second reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 1, line 16.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What we've got here is a one-word change on line 16, changing the word from negligently to recklessly. The purpose for this, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, I better go back and move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 11 and request that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. Now, what we're trying to do is simply, I was concerned that negligently was not an appropriate standard for a criminal offense. Ultimately, you look at the words negligently, and the law simply means that a reasonable person under the similar circumstances would not have done that. Ultimately, you become in a situation where you may have I suppose you could be walking your dog while texting, and if you allow that dog to get away from you and chase big game, that you have been negligent and could be charged, and I don't think that's what's intended. Certainly that from the testimony yesterday, that's not what it was intended. I've run this by the sponsor or the chairman of the committee that's the sponsor of this. I'm not sure if he's for it or against it, Mr. President. I also talked with some folks from the Game and Fish, and ultimately as they looked at that, they liked the word recklessly as opposed to intentionally, another type of word. So with that, I would encourage your favorable consideration of this amendment.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I consider this a friendly amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? Question been called for. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 11. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Amendment passed. House Bill 11 haven't been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 19, second reading of the bill.
Criminal procedure mental evaluations.
House Bill 19, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 20, second reading of the House Bill.
Criminal procedure administration of antipsychotic drugs.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read it in?
House Bill 20, second reading amendment number 1. Delete the Senate Standing Committee amendment.
Senator DiCaria.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 20 and ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. Mr. President, yesterday there was a question on this about the wording in there that if only a psychiatrist would be the one to actually, that they would have to be actually the one that administered the drugs. So this wording will just make it clear that they are the ones that are prescribing the medication. The administration can be done by somebody who's qualified to do that. I would be pleased to stand for questions. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion on the amendment. Question is, second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 20. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment carried. House Bill 20, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 23, second reading of the bill.
Game and Fish penalties.
House Bill 23, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 29, second reading of the bill.
Tribal participation in community facilities program.
House Bill 29, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 34, second reading of the bill.
Liquor licensees industry representative.
House Bill 34, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 49, second reading of the bill.
Marriage licenses.
House Bill 49, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 57, second reading of the bill.
Ownership of pore space dominance of mineral estate.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 57, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 4.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, you will recall the discussion in the Committee of the Whole yesterday and the concern as to whether or not this legislation, as it is, stands before us right now without the amendment, in fact expands the ability of the mineral estate to constrain use of these pore spaces. And we had quite a detailed discussion on that. And the explanation we got was that, no, the mineral owner would have to demonstrate some actual harm that was being done by the use of this pore space. And so what this amendment does is it goes in and say, okay, that makes sense to us. Let's put that in, too, so there's no misunderstanding about it. So in order for the owner of the mineral estate to either prohibit or constrain the use of the pore space, they've got to be able to demonstrate damage to the mineral estate. That was, I think, in accord. I was listening very carefully yesterday, in accord with the explanation we got, and I think it clarifies things and will give us a greater protection so that you don't have, and I'm really more concerned about some of the bureaucrats than I am some of the private sector owners, but you don't have mineral estate owners preventing the use of these pore spaces. And I think it's important that we don't have that circumstance, and so I urge the adoption of the amendment.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a question, and I think I understand what we're doing here, but I want to bring up a situation and have the sponsor explain to me what might happen. And if I had a ranch and I owned the minerals, and then I decided to sell my ranch and I retained the minerals. So I've retained the minerals. The new owner now owns the surface, which means he owns the pore space. So that is, under our current law, he can sever that. So he severs it, and he sells it to somebody else. And this amendment would afford protection to that other person that now owns the pore space from me, who owned the minerals all along, from causing any problems to that, absent me being able to prove it. But what about the other way? What does this do to me as a mineral owner, should the person that now owns the severed pore space comes to me and says, well, you know, I understand you have minerals there, but in order to produce that, you might be going through my pore space, and I think you might damage that, and I want to be compensated for. Or you need to do something to protect it, just flipping it around. I want to be sure I understand how this would work in that scenario.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment. And the reason is this. Ultimately, I understand the intent. The intent is not to change the existing statute of law and make, if you're going to have clarifications one way, fair is fair, it ought to be clarifications the other way. But the problem that I see with this particular amendment is we're introducing what I believe will be a new legal concept into this entire arena. And that is, when you look, constrain the use of the pore space absent demonstrated damage. And when you have language like that in a statute, ultimately that will work its way into the regulatory and the court cases that are here, this type of thing. And there is already a number of terms of art and other things out there that kind of envelop this concept to some degree already. And, you know, it's producible minerals and economic, or minerals and economic quantities. There's a number of terms of art that are already out there. And this is going to insert a new term of art that's going to have to, there'll be court cases to go figure out what demonstrated damage means now. And so with that, ultimately, I would suggest to you that if we start to fiddle with this too much, we might just maybe ought to do something completely different. But Any on and against the amendment, Mr. President?
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, and I appreciate the good sponsor. He brought this amendment to me, and we talked about it. And at first blush, I thought, this might be all right. But then I started looking at the language of the amendment, and it talks about a conveyance, basically. Nothing in this section shall be construed as conveying. I think that we're not conveying anything. A conveyance is a transfer between rightful owners. So that term of art may be inaccurate. But I found that the more and more I thought about this, I think that the language of demonstrated damage is awfully vague. What is that? And are there unintended consequences here with regard to this amendment? And I think it's just something that I've been trying to get my hands around, try to figure it. But I'm fearful that we will ultimately, potentially, create more problem than not with this amendment. Folks, I meant what I said yesterday. This bill is telling everybody else that we really meant it before when we passed the law last time. Quite frankly, I'd rather see the bill, House Bill 57, die than to start jacking around with the language of it's the second time I've used that term today. start messing with the language in the statute and may create more problems than what we really started out with.
Further discussion before sponsor have his second time, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, this amendment was an attempt to listen very carefully to the explanation we had on the bill and to put in black and white the protections that were there for the owners of the pore space and the surface estate from the use of their property being constrained by the mineral estate, which is dominant. And the description we had yesterday was that they had to prove that they were being harmed. That's what this does. It puts that language in. And I think that's important to make sure that this bill really doesn't change the law and doesn't afford extra ability for the mineral estate to be harmful to these other estates. And I think all it does is codify what your existing law is, conveyed, given you got a whole bunch of synonyms there, they all mean the same thing. I don't think that's a valid argument. I don't think any of these things we're pioneering here in Wyoming, and we're ahead of everybody else. I don't think any of the language that we're using as it comes to us is sacred and shouldn't ever be amended. So because this amendment just codifies the description that we had, which was an eminently fair one as to how the law ought to work, I think it's a good idea to put it in. With regard to the scenario of could it flip around the other way? I think the amendment is silent on that issue. I think the bill is silent on that issue. That's probably the subject for further work. I have wondered about some of those things and the protection from the pore, how does the pore space relate to the surface estate and things like that. I think there's some further work to be done there. I don't think this amendment affects that one way or the other. I think the law is what it is right now on that subject, and this doesn't change it. So, Mr. President, with that, I urge the Senate to adopt the amendment.
The question is second reading amendment number one to House Bill 57. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment had failed. House Bill 57, oh, haven't been read.
There is a
second amendment. All right. Would the reading clerk please read in the second amendment?
House Bill 57, second reading amendment number two, delete the Scott-Hines second reading amendment.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With the vote on the previous amendment being the way that it was, I withdraw amendment number two.
House Bill 57, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 59, second reading of the bill.
Liquor licenses, golf clubs.
House Bill 59, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? House Bill 67, second reading of the bill.
Tobacco excise tax.
House Bill 67, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Excuse me, there was an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read it in?
House Bill 67, second reading amendment number one to engross copy, page one, line two.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, as the bill stands before us, what it does is switch the way we tax chewing tobacco products from a 20% of wholesale purchase price to a fixed price per ounce, 60 cents, I believe it is. And there's some advantages to doing that. You take the cheaper products and put an extra tax on them, bring them up, make them less likely to be used for a gateway drug. That's got some advantages. But it also has a disadvantage for the state. And that is, as inflation sets in, as price structures change in this industry, this serves potentially the way we're doing it as a tax cut of some magnitude for the more popular products in this area. And it's their lobbyists that are pushing the thing for all kinds of competitive reasons. And it does have the potential for doing the state's revenues quite a bit of harm in the future. So what this amendment does is come in and say, well, the change makes all kinds of sense to us, but so does retaining the inflation protection that's inherent in a tax that is a percentage of a price. So let's also calculate it on the old method that we're doing right now, 20% of the wholesale price, and the tax will be the greater of those two. So the practical effect is that as inflation sets in, the wholesale price will again govern. We'll get the same kind of tax revenue we would get under our existing system. And I suppose the dynamic will be, and I think we're going to have an inflation. You can't pump up the kind of money into an economy that the Federal Reserve is pumping in without getting one. And it's going to happen. I don't know when, but it will happen. And I think in the relatively near future. The practical effect of this is going to be that the state will be protected. Revenue that we're now getting will be protected. The tax disincentive to using these products, which are harmful, will be protected. And eventually, there gradually will get to be a differential between the cheaper products and the more expensive ones, and the makers of the more expensive ones, for their own competitive reasons, will push a bill through that brings us back and keeps our revenue up, keeps their competitors taxed adequately. and that's an advantage. If the bill passes without the amendment, you won't have that. Everybody will be happy to just let it well enough alone and let the state's tax take just gradually diminish. So this amendment protects the state's interest in both the revenue and in discouraging the use of these products that are harmful, and frankly, the tax does do that. And there's another reason. Mr. President, you've seen the vigor of the lobbying effort on this thing. We put this in, create a circumstance where the state will be protected, the differential will grow, they'll need another bill. Think of your friends out in the lobby. This means they will continue to be employed. They'll have the opportunity to work on this issue again in 10 years or whatever. So both, Mr. President, to protect the interests of the state and to protect the interests of the Wyoming entrepreneurs that haunt the lobby, I ask you to support this amendment.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. And, you know, as you talk about the folks in the lobby, you know, it's been an interesting thing about this bill because you've had some of my friends in the lobby on some tobacco companies are in favor of this bill, and some of my friends in the lobby that are from tobacco companies are in favor of this bill. And, Mr. Chairman, apparently we stand directly with our friends on this issue. What you've got in this, and no question that if you look and we go into an inflationary period, that there's going to be the opportunity to revisit not only this tax, but any tax that's not based on an ad valorem tax basis. What this bill really does, the effect of this bill, is you take exactly what this bill's done, which is to move it from an ad valorem basis to a unit basis, and then we say what we're going to do is that we will now convert it back to an ad valorem basis, and this is what the tax rate's going to be. Keep in mind that we're talking about MST, moist snuff tobacco, not MSG, which would be something completely different, but MST, which comprises maybe 7-8% of all tobacco products. We, again, you come back, and the idea behind this was the already nearly 88% of tobacco products are taxed on a unit basis. Cigarettes, they're taxed at 3 cents a cigarette. We have all the exact same arguments about, well, if we're going to do this, well, we should go back and we should have the same amendment, although obviously we can't do that at this point, but we should do the same thing for tobacco. The point is that the bill of 67, is House Bill 67, the way that it is, makes increases from 88 to about 97% of all tobacco products will now be taxed on a unit basis. When the inflationary period comes, we have the opportunity to come down here and do that, and fix that if we need to do that, and we can apply it not only to moist snuff tobacco products but to all cigarette tobacco products. And it's an interesting concept, and I applaud the creativity of the sponsor because it's great to take a bill, move it to unit taxation, and then do an amendment that moves it right back to ad valorem but at a different rate. And I appreciate that. I enjoy creativity. But if you do this, it completely defeats the purpose and the point of the bill, and would ask for you to defeat this amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion, Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, and I rise in favor of this amendment. Understand what we're doing here, folks. We're making, to a certain extent, we're making a statement on what is the most prevalent pathway for nicotine addiction in this state. And that's true to, that's stuff that comes in those little round cans. You don't pick up addiction to nicotine with cigarettes. Thank goodness we've done a great job of advertising to young people. And the way that large tobacco companies, purveyors of nicotine, get around that is to use chew. Now, what we're saying is, no matter what, we don't have to change anything, but we will levy at least a consistently high tax on what is the gateway nicotine addiction drug. I think it's good policy. I think it's good for the state's revenue picture. I agree with my colleague from Natrona County. We've got to fight unemployment every way we can. I think that's a great idea also. But also understand this is a tough drug. And when you're addicted to it, it's bad news. And luckily there's, I believe, 27 smart people in this chamber, and there's three of us dummies that are still addicted to it. And I urge you, when you get an opportunity to say no matter what, we will make it more difficult, and young people are the most responsive to price increases, make it difficult for them to become addicted to nicotine. I support the amendment.
Further discussion before the sponsors take his second time? Senator Scott? Question been called for, second reading amendment number one to House Bill 67. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Amendment has passed. House Bill 67 haven't been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor, please?
You may.
Mr. President, as was touched upon in this previous discussion on this last bill, we have professional lobbyists. We have bills that are brought by committee. We have bills that are suggested by industry. Sometimes some of our best ideas are bills that are suggested to us by constituents, and then we go down and work on the bill. And then the best of all is a good bill where the constituent is involved, and the constituent has done all the work for you. And you just stand there and put it in. They come testify. They do all the research. Mr. President, such was the case with the official state butterfly bill, which came through here and has just gone through the committee in the other house. And it's I have the pleasure of introducing the two protagonists who have done all the work on the butterfly bill. And if they would stand up behind me is Tanner Warder. And to my right is Lydia Meyer, and their mothers, Joanne Meyer, and Carla Warder. If they would stand up, and if you'd make them welcome to the chamber, I'd appreciate it. Mr. President, they're my next door neighbors, and I mispronounced their name. I managed to. It's Mayor, not Meyer. Sorry about that.
Welcome to the Senate. Now we know who to go to get help to pass our bills.
Yeah.
House Bill 88, second reading of the House Bill.
Game and Fish Pioneer Licenses.
House Bill 88, haven't been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 93, second reading of the bill.
Complementary hunting licenses.
House Bill 93, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 110, second reading of the House Bill.
Wyoming Business Ready Community Program.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 110, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 1.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. This goes back to our discussion yesterday on this particular bill, and I don't want to revisit all those issues with respect to all the different things we're out there, but I just wanted to point out a couple things in this bill, and let me go back again. I forgot to do this again. I'll move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 110, and we request that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. Mr. Chairman, what this bill does, or what this amendment does, is I think go back and level the playing field to some degree with the unlevel playing field that I believe House Bill 11 or House Bill 110 creates. If you look at the what the amendment does is it simply goes back into the existing program, and if you look at line 17 through 43, It goes back into the existing program, and there's a laundry list of things that can be used in and out of this fund. Just simply takes the idea and the ability that we're trying to do in 110 and just adds it in there so that information technology and infrastructure, including data generation, storage and retrieval, are included in the list of all the other things that can be done under this program in the Business Council. The reason I think that is important is because the bill in its present form does a couple of things. Lines 12 through 19 would allow the Business Council to pay that company the subsidized power costs, subsidized data access, whether they're T1 lines or DSLs or whatever there is. And then when you get over, and as I read on page 3, lines 4 through 13, basically, those cost savings come back to the entity that does that, but it also creates, in my look, a sole source contract that avoids competition to those who might have the opportunity to provide those same services. If we just put it back in the laundry list, and everybody's on the amendment. If we just put this activity specifically in the laundry list of things that can be done under this program, fair enough. But to go back and allow. In the name of economic development, an advantage to these companies that are developing opposed to those that may already exist in our communities just seems inherently unfair and would request your favorable consideration on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Larson. Well, thank you, Mr. President. Having been in committees, this is an extensive amendment. I can't fully track it, to be honest with you. It appears to me to delete the grant portion as you look at line 3, page 1, line 1, where it goes on and providing for grants under the Wyoming Business Ready Communities Plan. It appears to me to do that. And all the Section B does is go back in and rewrite the original bill and include information technology infrastructure. I don't know that that's all bad because all it's doing is including that. But the main purpose of the bill, this maybe, could be done in rules to make that happen. But all this bill is doing is laying forth the process that has to be gone through if they're going to do that. And I believe it eliminates grants. I would ask you to resist it. It's gone through the process of vetting over interim work. It's gone through other bodies. And in essence, all it does is go in and rewrite the whole business section through number B. But I think it does eliminate grants. If you want to eliminate grants, I think there's an easy way to do that. There isn't any money in this bill, hardly any way left, and so I would ask you to resist the amendment.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, for such an extensive amendment, this is the first time I've seen this, was early this morning here, but it basically strips the bill of just about everything it's trying to do almost, but it's interesting because when we write this language in here on this amendment under little b here on line 17, it goes all the way down to 43. If you'll notice in there, this talks about the purchase of lands and buildings also along with this. And the purpose of this bill that we're doing in 110 has anything to do with that. This has to do with some infrastructure needs and paying for some power and bandwidth that has to do with the communities and their use of those facilities. So to me, this tremendously expands the purpose of what we're trying to do here. It convolutes the bills to the point where, you know, I don't know if we could ever recover from it, Mr. President. I'm sorry, Mr. President. I'm trying to be serious. But, you know, Mr. President, so I don't know why we're doing this. I'd ask you to reject this amendment with that.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, addressing a couple of the concerns, if you'll refer to page 1, lines 20, and again on 24, grants are still in. What this amendment does is takes those areas, the information technology, infrastructure, and so on, that were in House Bill 110, and puts them on the same footing, under the same circumstances, as the other uses of this program. It gives the business council the leeway to weigh the priorities that come in front of them as these projects come up. They can give loans, they can give grants under this scenario and under the previous scenario. But this says you don't raise one specific use above others. You weigh the funds that you've got and the needs given the criteria of the community program. I think it's a good amendment. I think it accomplishes everything 110 tried to do, but it gives the business council the leeway to weigh those demands and understand the demands always exceed the amount of money available. That's the 10th or 11th law of legislating.
Senator Vebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask the body to defeat this amendment. And first of all, members of the Senate, this language is something that this Senate has debated before and passed, and this was existing law that we had before. And what happened because of how long it takes to get anything to do with IT, there are several companies in Wyoming that are trying to do this. They were never able to get their business plan in place to try to be even involved in this. So this is language that this body has seen and passed before. The second thing is I really don't think that this creates any kind of a prioritization. If this passes, that means the business council should look at this before they look at other particular circumstances. And the other thing I like about this bill is that, I mean, obviously you put in the amendment that we're going to talk about data generation, storage, and retrieval. But we talk about specific things here, bandwidth, other things that are really important is what we're trying to do here. So I think this bill, and the way this language is good. I think it really delineates what we're trying to do, the area of our state where we're trying to help, which is IT, and I would hope that you would defeat this amendment, let the bill go forward as presented.
Senator Massey.
A few years ago, or maybe it was just 2 years ago, in a budget bill, we provided $5 million to the business council as incentives for funding data centers. And I don't think any of those funds have been expended yet. Data centers are the very foundation of a technological basis for the state. They store a great deal of data. They're in great demand around the country. And Wyoming could put itself in the forefront in attracting a lot of data centers to the state. However, it does require a great deal of electricity, as evidenced by the supercomputer. With the supercomputer coming to Wyoming, this is a natural place to begin attracting these data centers, and that was the reason why we put the $5 million in the budget, was to attract them. I think the bill in its present form, especially with the granting provision, on lines 14 and 15 on page 1, which would be deleted by the amendment, are so important, and that is the business council now has some structure and a mechanism for beginning to distribute that $5 million that we set aside for the data centers. Now, perhaps after the $5 million is over with and expended, we may want to come back and put it into the language that's being proposed by the amendment right now. But I think until that $5 million has been expended, this is a good bill and will help get those data centers started.
Senator Larson, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President, for your second time. I do not believe this establishes any kind of a priority whatsoever. What it does, as you can read on the bill, grants may be made in accordance by rules of the council, which what it's doing is laying out a process. It isn't establishing a priority. It's laying out a process. And this amendment goes in and basically almost totally rewrites the business council program that was adopted by this body several times. several years ago. So I would ask you to reject the amendment. I think it's fine the way it is. It does have grants in it. There's not a lot of money left in the program, but it's moving forward and I think doing a lot of things. And in this real time of economic chaos, as you would, I think it's appropriate that we try to develop our businesses in Wyoming.
Senator Nicholas.
Gets the amendment. Folks, the reason why the data center language was put into a separate statute or section is because Section B really addresses and deals with infrastructure. So it's grants for infrastructure, for land building, et cetera. And that was too constraining to help out the data centers because the data centers were not looking for assistance in acquiring facilities or infrastructure. They're the mechanism by which we assist and aid data centers is by subsidizing power, lowering power, providing other mechanisms in order to reduce their operating cost. You'll recall that with the in-car facility, for example, what really one of the leading factors that brought them to Laramie or to Cheyenne is a Freudian slip. Cheyenne was offering low-cost power, so they were given 3.5 cents kilowatt hour for a long time, an amazingly low rate of power. And so because of the, you needed different tools, we created a different section. By eliminating the old section, going back to the original B, you lose those tools. So I'd urge you to reject the amendment.
Senator Cooper, for your second time.
My second time. And I just wanted to reiterate one point here. There's about either five or six communities already in the state that are following this very specific process as it's been outlined, and it's outlined in this current bill that we have. So I, on their behalf, I would urge you to reject this amendment.
Further discussion? Senator Perkins, for your second time.
For my second time. Mr. President, the opponents to the amendment are exactly right. It does basically take and do away with everything that's in the original bill. What it does do is it simply goes in two subsections above that, where you outline the program and inserts the ability develop information technology infrastructure, including data generation, storage, and retrieval. If you look at what this does, it says in B, which it sets up the business council and the grant for doing projects, says that under the Business Ready Community Program, as provided in this article, any town, city, or county may submit an application to the council. This is in the amendment. For a grant or loan under the program on forms prescribed by and subject to the rules promulgated by the council. Rule, you know, I don't know, which is interesting. Two things. One is if they've already got rules and this is a backfill, then why do we need this if we've already got rules that do this? Ultimately, this also allows them to provide rules. What can they do? Well, they can do on line 24 of the amendment, grants and loans may be made by the council for economic or educational development infrastructure projects, pretty open-ended, including on those types of projects, purchase of land, buildings, facilities. It also provides for telecommunications infrastructure, rights-of-way, airports, sewer and water projects, roads, landscaping, recreational convention facilities. And then comes the amendment to the new language, information technology infrastructure, including data generation, storage, and retrieval, or other infrastructure determined by the council, to be consistent with the purpose of the article, which is business-ready communities. So ultimately, while it talks about structures, it's not limited. It's talking about projects. It still has rules and regulations provided by the council. Seems to me that, you know, I guess you can do it in four pages, but if you can do it in seven words and they're already doing it, you got to wonder, there's got to be something more to this than maybe what we're being told. But ultimately, I don't think this inhibits NCAR or anybody else. They're still under the Business Ready Community Program. They still can generate rules. Apparently, they already have. They can still follow those. And but they're, you know, when you come out with this in the existing bill, it's hard for me to believe that when you come out and are this specific that you're not designating or appointing or directing the business council do something very specific, and that may be fine, but I don't know that ultimately whatever you can do in this, it appears to me you can also do in the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question is second reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 110. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Chair is undecided. All in favor, please stand. Those opposed. The amendment has been defeated. House Bill 110 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 112, second reading of the House Bill.
Workforce Housing Program.
There are amendments. Would reading clerk read in the first amendment?
House Bill 112, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 7, line 1.
Senator Von Fledren.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move standing committee, or second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 112. This goes into page 7, line 1, right after project costs, and inserts a period there. Well, doesn't insert the period yet, but strikes the rest of that line, strikes all line 2, all line 3, and the period appears under will be funded. So now it says, grants shall be made only if the applicant demonstrates that upon receipt of the grant, all projected project costs will be funded. The reason for this, Mr. President, was that in line 1, if you look at it, after project costs, it says the applicant is responsible for. So I don't know why we would give a grant if the project isn't fully funded or may not go forward, but we'll give them some money to bring it to some point. They can certainly apply under top of page 6 to get a grant just to do planning and zoning and regulations, and that would be a project in itself, and that would be grant given to them, and they could take care of that. And that would say the whole project's funded. But if they're going to make a step forward where they're actually going to build some kind of subdivision, put in infrastructure, if all they're doing is getting a grant to bring some planning in, but the project's never going to go forward or may not go forward, then I don't think we should be giving them the grant to begin with. So I ask for your favorable vote on this.
Senator Larson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would ask you to oppose the amendment. What it takes out, basically, is just the ability for them to show that they can move forward, that they have the ability to do that. It doesn't have to be funded. It shows that we're not saying that it's going to be funded. They have to show the ability that it can be funded before they get a grant. And I think that's appropriate, and I would ask you to defeat the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Von Fledren for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't see where it says the project will be funded. It just says that whatever the political subdivision, I believe, town, county, whichever, that applies for this, is just saying that their part of it will be funded. I would want more assurance that whatever we're going to give money for is going to go forward to completion and not just bring it up to the planning stages and then nothing happens. The next part, where it says you get a loan, actually, on page 7, section C, to get a loan, you have to make sure everything is funded. But yet we'd give a grant and say that maybe only part of it will be funded. I ask for your favorable vote again.
Question is second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 112. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Amendment passed. Division been called for. All in favor stand. Those opposed. The amendment passed. Failed. Excuse me. I wrote down passed. I was reading that. House Bill 112. Oh, this is second reading amendment. Second amendment. Would reading clerk please read it in?
House Bill 112, second reading amendment number 2 to endorse engrossed copy. Delete the Senate Standing Committee amendment.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 112. Mr. Chairman, this is an item we had discussion about yesterday. We put an amendment in committee defining that that it would be medium gross income. Gross was still there. And a maximum of, and then down on line 9, that medium gross income. It was an attempt to define gross income versus net income. The good senator from Johnson County pointed out that in a lot of other statute, it only refers to median income. Now, I don't think this matters, but I don't want to do the bill any harm or take any chance of constitutionality away from it. And I don't think it matters that much, so I'm asking you to support this amendment, which all that does is take out the Standing Committee amendment, which was to say gross median income rather than just median income. And that puts it back the way it was. That will, I think, relieve the concerns of some who thought that that could affect the constitutionality. So, Mr. Chairman, I would move approval of the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I don't think it affects the constitutionality one way or another. There's if you're relying on necessary support of the poor to say that you can do this, you've got a means test either way. I'm unaware of any court decisions that saying that you can only go so far in the necessary support of the poor. I think as long as you've got a means test there, you're arguably all right constitutionally. I think it comes down to a matter of judgment. I think that the amendment may be correct as a matter of policy judgment. And I think that's the basis when which we ought to judge this. I really don't think it's a constitutional issue here.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Townsend.
Thank you, Mr. President. In a conversation the last couple of days over the issue of median or maximum, or what we found is that the maximums are so close to what when a person or two persons get Social Security, it comes so close to the medians that if there's any kind of a change in the amount of money they get through Social Security, then they sometimes don't qualify for programs that they were involved with earlier. Like one dies, then those values go down and the count is different. We're so close to that point that if we keep this at max or the gross, which is more money than the median, obviously, then we keep above that threshold of where they're right on the cusp of losing benefits to the considered poor. Therefore, I think it's to the benefit of the recipients of the funding to be judged by the gross instead of the median. Therefore, I think that's a consideration when you decide on this amendment. Thank you.
Senator Honeycutt.
Chairman, I stand in support of the amendment in that it just makes it a whole lot easier for everyone to understand median, since median is used in so many reports nationwide and in the state and in state agencies, that to return this from gross back to median is just makes it less complicated for everybody.
Further discussion. Question is, second Second reading, amendment number 2 to House Bill 112. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Amendment passed. House Bill 112, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. House Bill 62, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 62, sponsored by the Education Committee, Charter School Law Amendments, an act relating to charter schools, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Are you ready for the question? House Bill 62, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin? Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
no.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
House Bill 62, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 62 have passed the Senate. Senate File 1, third reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 1, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, General Government Appropriation, an act relating to supplemental appropriations for the operation of state government, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are amendments. Would the reading clerk read in Amendment Number 1?
Senate File 1, Third Reading Amendment Number 1, Budget Affected Number 1, Governor's Office.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 1. Mr. President, this is in regards to the issue of the tribal liaison positions. As you recall, the governor's budget proposes to move those liaison positions to 900 series or contract series and to have those be located in the developed and located up on the Wind River Indian Reservation. What this amendment does, Mr. Chairman, is to say that that's fine. That's a good way to do it, I suppose. But in addition, they need to have office space down here. They need to be part of the state email system, and they need to have internet access when they're in town in Cheyenne. I don't care where the governor's office places them. They need to have space. And I've actually already discussed this with the governor's office. I don't think there's any great opposition to this. And it just gives them a place to hang their hat and some state legitimacy. I agree that being part of the state email system and have an office in state government is a positive way to balance the contractual arrangement versus state employee arrangement. Mr. President, I'd be happy to answer any questions. There's no money.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, and I was hoping we'd have an amendment with respect to, I thought, whether we take the liaisons out of the governor's office or not. I mean, this begins to demonstrate the problem that we have where we're essentially making payments to the tribes to engage people to be the liaison back with us. And I come back around. I wonder where is the skin in the game, if you will, from the tribes to make this thing work. And I really wonder the notion of saying we're going to pay to have folks, you get the money, you appoint them, and now the governor is responsible for providing the office space for them, and he has no control over them, so he's got people within his office, presumably, using office functions over which he has no supervisory authority, he has no ability to set their hours, no ability to say these are things I'm wanting to do, I want you to do. And it's an interesting position, an interesting notion now where you say, we'll send the money, you appoint the people, you supervise them, and we'll provide you an office with absolutely no control over the, or what I'd call employer-employee relationship. And I'm not sure whether I'm opposed to it or not. I just think it's not a very wise way to go.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a technical question on the amendment. The governor is proposing to move the money from the 100 series to the 900 series, making the two representatives contractors. So I'm wondering if this amendment would apply to them because it says the governor's office shall provide to the employees of this function. Well, they're no longer going to be employees, but they'll be contractors.
Senator Johnson. Senator Vasey.
Mr. Chairman, rising in support of the amendment, and I understand that all the ins and outs of the problems, but I have to tell you that these liaisons, whatever anybody thought about it, they had great access to the state agencies, and I think we saw some of that both ways. There was a lot of times that state agencies didn't even know where to go on the reservation or who to talk to on the reservation to do this, and vice versa. A lot of times, I think the Public Service Commission was one that went up and held meetings on the reservation. And it wasn't so much that there was a resistance. It was just where was the meeting place or who did you contact? So I would hope that these liaisons, when they got to Cheyenne to visit with the state agencies, would at least have some place to hang their hat. So I would support the amendment.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I agree with everything almost the senator from the other hand said. If we're going to move, the governor's going to move them over to the contract area, rather than putting this in statute, why not, or in the budget, as amendment, why don't we just encourage them to negotiate that on their contract level? And I think that would be the better place for it than actually sticking it here.
Any other discussion before the sponsor take a second time? Senator Case.
Well, Mr. President, in regards to the contract, the governor's office absolutely can do that. I mean, this is totally permissive. The original statute that establishes the tribal liaison function says the governor may. All right? So it's totally in the governor's he's the driver here. What we're saying is, let's have some place where they can hang their hats when they come down to Cheyenne and fulfill a little bit of the legitimacy of being a liaison. Offices up in the Wind River Reservation, offices in Cheyenne. If, as part of the negotiations, the governor wants to say, well, let's negotiate the price of the office, fine. He can do that. Nothing prevents that from happening because who's going to negotiate the contracts, their contractual employees? The governor. Who's going to provide the office space? The governor. Where does it have to be? Could be anywhere in state government. We don't care. And but it has to include internet access and email. That's the only way employees can function. Now, about the term employee, you know that might be a poor choice of words, but it's clearly the positions authorized or contractual positions. Clearly that's what it is. The whole purpose in this governor's budget is to remove them from being employees to being contractual. So I don't see that as an insurmountable word there. It's clearly contractual position. And the governor negotiates the contract in each and every institute. And if he doesn't want to do it, he doesn't have to because the original legislation is totally permissive. Very benign amendment, doesn't cost anything, and just gives a small amount of legitimacy to these functions. And if you want, in terms of supervisory capacity, the governor can negotiate that in the contract as well. He gets to decide how much supervision he's going to have. But either that, these are like diplomats, liaisons, bridging and an important function between the executive branch and the tribal governments. This one's just a benign amendment. No secretive agenda on this one. I'll get that one later.
Question, third reading, amendment number one to Senate File 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Chair is undecided. All in favor, please stand.
Fifteen.
Those opposed.
Fourteen.
Amendment failed. Third reading amendment number two to Senate File 1. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number two, budgets affected. Number two, environmental quality.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the amendment. Mr. President, with the letter we got from the executive officer yesterday, in the spirit of trying to go out and find where we can save a little money here and there, I was talking to the director of DEQ. He's got seven positions unfilled. These could all be flexed in and out with what he's doing. You've got a guy, a computer tech, a secretary, a couple of permit writers, and some modeling, an oil and gas specialist, and a CBM permit writer. These are all jobs that they don't have filled now. They're doing it without these guys now with the downturn that we're seeing in the Powder River Basin, with the drilling budgets going away and the downturn we're seeing over in the deep gas country. They can get along with these. It might be a place where we can save a couple bucks.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, just a thought. We just had a bill pass through here giving DEQ on solid waste, and I see that here, additional duties to try to do the risk management, and I haven't seen the money go with the bill yet. Air quality, water quality, that the monitoring of that is absolutely critical to keeping the deep well fields open because of all the stuff that's surrounding it. So I don't know, vote it up or down, but it seems odd to me that we'd go after these people because they're the ones that probably are keeping things going or will be part of it. And we do have primacy. We start reneging on our jobs. Maybe we won't have. Thank you.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Boy, go back in history. This reminds me of the 90s. There's only seven vacancies in DEQ with the size staff that they have. I would say that they're probably in the middle of recruiting for all seven of them. And there are jobs over there that takes a year to recruit for to actually hire somebody because of the requirements of education and experience and how many are actually available. So I would ask you to resist this because we gave them the jobs because they were the positions because we were convinced that they needed them. I know that they're recruiting for them because I ran a state agency for well over a decade. And let's not undercut them and give them the let them have the positions. And again, if there are only seven vacancies in an agency that size, I'm pretty impressed by their low turnover.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I haven't been around as long as the senator from Laramie County, but I will say this. I think that our senator from Natrona County has maybe hit on something. We can wait for a couple years and go through a couple of years after this downturn has already taken place. But, you know, the reality of the situation is a lot of these drilling rigs are back at the shop. A lot of these things have been capped. The activity has ground to a halt. It does make you wonder, you know, where do we begin to back off on some of these appropriations? I believe I support this.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment. Folks, at any given time, if you look through an agency's budget, they're going to have vacancies. And there's a variety of reasons for vacancies. One is there simply is going to be attrition. There's going to be positions that can't be met. It takes time when you lose a position to replace them. Also, you need to be aware that we do not provide funding in our budget for sick pay and for accrued vacation time. That's a huge liability that the state has that we don't accrue any dollars for. What that means is that if an employee leaves his employment and suppose he's been working for 10 years and he's built up a bunch of time, in order for the agency to pay out the employee, you had to purchase back a portion of the accrued vacation time, those liabilities can get as high as $30,000 to $40,000. In order for the agency to pay for that, they had to pay it out of their 100 series, which are their positions. And so they'll hold a position open while they're paying that obligation and won't fulfill it in other ways, or won't fill the position until the liability responsibility is paid. Now, with respect to vacancies, the JAC does look at vacancies every year. We look at them. We try to sort out whether they're how long they've been outstanding. If they've been out there for a couple years or a year and they can't find a position, maybe they don't really need it. Maybe they're simply holding that position to pull in general fund money to redistribute to other employees, so then we might eliminate that position. So we also, we look not only the number of vacancies, what's the time trend, how long they've been held open, and that's the correct analysis. If you are going to begin to look at cutting and saving money on an agency or a government-wide basis on the order of $170 million for a potential CREG reduction, this is not the way to do it. You need to go to the agencies, have them provide a plan, and it may be that there will be furloughs, there may be the situations where RIF employees, there may be some where there are vacancies that are just held open where you retrieve the money. But we do that in concert in a plan. This is not planned. Before you take these positions, you need to know what the exact positions are, how important they are. And so I'd urge that you resist this, that we when we get engaged with reducing the number of positions, we'll be looking at it government-wide. We'll be doing it in a methodical way, not just picking out one agency. So please resist the amendment.
The question, Senator Vasey.
Mr. President, before the amendment comes, if for a second time you could refresh my memory, it seemed to me that last year that part of the problem was that there was a length of time to get permits, and did we add some positions for that to do this? I would urge the body not to get too caught up in rigs being stacked and things like this. This is a sick thing that happens in Wyoming. The permitting processes go on. I mean, just it's tragic that rigs are being pulled out of the basin and things like that, in my opinion, but that doesn't mean we need to stop the permitting. So if you could answer that question, and I might be wrong with this amendment. So,
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, what am I missing here? The workload's going down. The state's revenues are going down. We're going to have to be reducing the budget. We've got some vacant positions. This is a good place to start. It would seem that, you know, if this was a private business, this would be a no-brainer. Your workload's going down. You don't need so many people. You don't have to lay anybody off. You don't have to fire anybody. You just don't fill some of these vacancies. Next year, if it's a good deal worse, we may have to get a good deal more vigorous. But this is a way to get started, at least in a small way, so it isn't as bad. What am I missing? I mean, is government totally different from the way we think about the rest of the world?
Senator Hastert.
Mr. President, I just we had received a copy of the letter that the governor had sent out to all the agency heads to tell them that he expects them all to be trimming their budget. I don't know what these positions are. I'm not sure if, and I haven't heard if how many of these are going to be necessary. You know, they're unfilled now, but I think that the agencies have been asked and have the marching orders to cut their budgets, look within. I think they're better able to determine which of these positions aren't necessary, and we shouldn't be doing that. My opinion is doing that here. Let the departments do that as they see fit, because I'm not sure if what these positions are and what we'd be cutting.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's the whole concept, is to start cutting back, and we know where things are going to go. It's going to get worse and worse, but that's my concern here is... As a body, we reach in and micromanage this. The decree has been put out by the governor. Step in there, make your cuts, do what's necessary to drop your budget. I'm concerned when we come in on a third reading amendment and try to make the cuts in this effort. So I'd be against the amendment.
Senator Townsend.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to ask the sponsor of this amendment, has he contacted the agency, had any discussion with them on how they feel about this amendment?
Senator Nicholas, for your second time.
Of course, I can answer that. The agencies never like having their positions cut. But I guess to respond to the question from our colleague from Casper, what's wrong with this is that we may have a huge cut. It may require riffing. It may require a lot of things. Had this amendment said agency-wide that all vacancies will remain open and you will not fill them, we can have that debate. My problem is I'll tell you where the largest number of vacancies are, probably corrections. The second largest number of vacancies are going to be in the Department of Health. Let's put an amendment on that says the Department of Health positions will be no more hiring on that. I submit to you they won't be able to run their business on that. And if we're going to do it agency-wide or government-wide, fair enough. But to isolate one entity and said we're going to show you by example how this is done is inappropriate. It just makes it look like we're trying to stick your finger and eye in one agency as though they've done something wrong and they're doing something different. If you want to do it, if the author of the amendment had gone through every agency and done it, that's a different deal. But just to pick out one agency and said we're going to begin and teach you to sort out the financial issue on the back of one agency is just not the right way to do it. It doesn't send a message. You can't tell what the message is. You can't understand the message. And so I just urge that you reject it.
Senator Jennings, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. We received the letter from the governor after the second reading. This is the last time you have a chance. When you go out there and you start to look at agencies, all of us have a little bit different experience in all different agencies. I know there's a senator that I've listened to several times that brought this similar type amendment up on the guys that chase us down and give us tickets for going too fast. Supported that. We are at a point now where the governor, the way I read his letter, and it may be wrong, has said they're not doing it. This is an agency that I have some knowledge about. This is an agency that we've grown quickly over the years. And now the reasons that we grew this agency are starting to level off for a year. If we say hold off of these seven, and they are exactly and this is from the department. Computer tech specialist, Sheridan, one position. Casper Field Office, clerk secretary, one position. Land quality, Sheridan Field Office, mine permitting and inspections, one. Solid and hazardous waste permit and corrective action scientist, two. Water quality, Sheridan Field Office, CBM, permit writer, one. Air quality, oil and gas permitting and air modeling specialist, one. Now, it doesn't make any difference what these positions are. What it makes a difference is whether you're holding it open to get the money. That doesn't mean that you're doing what we've all been asked to do, is to cut back on the budget. They can flex these around. They can still hire these people in these positions if it's that important by moving them around. You can vote it up or down. It doesn't really make, you know, the sun will still come up tomorrow. But when the executive officer sends us a letter at the end of second reading that I took, that the agencies were not doing what he asked them to do, then whether we send it to the agency that we know about or the entire government, one way or another, we should be cutting back. And I thought that was the spirit of what this year was. So vote it up or down, sun still comes up tomorrow.
Question is, shall third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 1 pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
No.
Martin?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie? Von Flatern?
No.
President Hines?
Aye.
Cooper, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote to close. 10 ayes, 20 noes.
Third reading amendment number 2 have failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 3. Chief Clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 1, Third Reading Amendment Number 3, Budgets Affected, Section 24, Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Third Reading Amendment Number 3 to Senate File 1. This is a simple little amendment, but ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's an important amendment. We have 4 Gallings paintings in the House and Senate. You have 2 of them right here, the wagon box fight and the smoke signal right here. These paintings were done in 1918. They were appraised in the year 2000 at the request of the Division of Parks and Cultural Resources. These 2 paintings right here in 2000 were each worth $350,000. Now take 8 years later or 9 years later, I suspect that the value of these paintings have gone up dramatically. What this bill does, or this amendment, is to say we'll use $20,000 of our general fund to clean and restore and conserve and protect these Gallings paintings. And, of course, we've all received these little books. This is the second edition. With regard to the historical nature of the Gallings works, I urge your favorable consideration of this. I think it preserves the beauty and the historical nature of our capital. It's not very much money, but it is extremely important that we do preserve these artworks.
Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. President, I would urge that you support the amendment also. And if you'll notice on these pictures, they're covered with glass, and there's a reason for that. because we don't have the adequate climate control and the humidity control that we need in this building. But they are extremely valuable. I would guesstimate their value now somewhere around $500,000 apiece. Not the most valuable pictures in here. That one up there is the most valuable picture in this place. That sharp up there is. But something that we need to focus on big time. I'd urge you to support the amendment. They have the ability to do it through conservation. I think it's a good amendment.
Question been called for. Third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 1. Will the amendment pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
No.
Townsend.
No.
Basie.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 26 ayes, 4 noes.
The amendment has passed. Third reading amendment number 4. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading number 4, multiple budgets affected, Workforce Service Administration.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now that we're on a roll, I move amendment number 4, third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 1. This is deja vu all over again. This is what I talked to you about on second reading. It's an amendment to provide $360-some thousand that is moving out of business-ready community budget into the Department of Workforce Services to provide financial education for our daycare providers. Remember, this is revenue neutral. This bill, since it just moves money, and both agencies, by the way, are behind this, what we've created in the Wyoming counts, the children's daycare bill that we ran a couple years ago, we put together a system that had training and educational opportunities for providers. We had a very limited general business management technical assistance. We had child care subsidies for the lowest income families. And we had regulations that were put on and educational standards that had to be met. The part that was missing out of that was teaching these people or trying to train them in the financial aspect, to have them look forward and say, will this work? Does this make economic sense? Am I getting myself in over my head? Maybe I want to start one up and, I think I can make a lot of money. But this money will be there to say, financially, this is what it looks like. This is what your financial statement, this is your profit and loss, what it possibly could look like. Please take, does it make sense to you? Are you going to be able to afford this? It also prepares them to go to the bank should they need a loan. The change in this amendment goes to about line 38 in that small type, and I think I have the largest amendment being proposed today for work verbiage, that they agree to pursue quality early childhood care as defined by the department, and that fits in our Wyoming quality counts. And it takes this money out of one budget and the other, and it's revenue neutral. On line 41, that it says if the contractor, once again, Department of Workforce Service is going to contract a service out, that provider, that contractor, shall come from any other funds will come from a non-state source, and that provider will bring with them a revolving fund for small loans for $500,000. Non-state money. They will bring that with them when they provide this other financial services. Now, your small towns where you can't go to somebody, one of our, I'm losing the name of it now, but one of our business, part of the business council, where you can go for advice, isn't in every little town we have. The economic benefit to the small towns is that this will be there. This will possibly get them a daycare. something that isn't in every little small town. If a 24-hour daycare ever is created because of this analysis by this group and the small loans they can give people, it also increases the amount of people that can go work the off shifts, the late shifts. Once again, they generally pay a little better money. Is it an economic stimulus in that way? It could be. What I'm asking for is to move money out of the business-ready community, put it into the Department of Workforce Services, have some kind of financial education provided, have some financial the wherewithal for these people to go and analyze their projects. And with that, we should also, I mean, it just makes sense that we'd create better quality daycare centers because they know what they're getting into early. They'll find out if it's financially solvent, and hopefully that they will provide these services that are much needed in every one of our communities. I ask for your favorable vote.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. Mr. President, we had a similar amendment on second reading that was defeated, and I'd urge you to defeat this as well. Folks, I'm always interested to know, I mean, it's too bad they don't put on the back sheet who the contractor is that's going to receive the money, so we just know up front who's going to receive the money. Right now, there are a number of programs, if you have a business plan, that are available to you. The Business Council has them. The university has a variety of programs. If I were to sit and go out and investigate it, I could find in our budget a lot of money helping people put together business plans. And I submit to you that those people are probably equally qualified to do a business plan for a daycare facility as anything. Go to the plans. Go to the services already being provided. I know the university has them. They have got. They have the programs with the at the incubator. So what we're doing here then is we're taking money away from people who are innovative, have great ideas, and want to fund their businesses' ideas, and then put them out and pay a contractor, somebody who we're afraid to identify, that's going to go out and offer their services to help people start businesses. And, you know, any night on light, night, or if you can't sleep and you're insomnic, you can get a lot of folks out there teaching you how to, the best possible business plans, whether it's to go out and flip a house or whatever. I mean, at some point, if people are innovative, they'll find the help. And we have lots of services out there for people who are innovative. There are a lot of daycare providers, professionals out there, and they're finding people. They're finding the resources that are already existing. So I'd urge you to resist this.
Further discussion for the sponsor takes his second term, Senator Devon Platerman.
Thank you, Mr. President. There is a couple of providers out of there. There is one that's a nonprofit organization that's serving about 8 states, and since we don't generally give out names, I certainly have it here for anybody that'd like to see it. But they specialize in it. They're a nonprofit organization. I am not touting them. This is open to anybody that meets the request for proposal that'll be put out by Department of Workforce Services. It does not grow the government. That's the good part of it. It just puts out a request for proposal. We put up some money. They bring in a whole lot more money. They provide those financial advisors that specialize in child daycare. You get a better product out there providing for our children. I ask you a favorable vote on this.
Question is, third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
Division
been called for. All in favor, please stand.
Ten.
Those opposed. The amendment has failed. Third reading amendment number 5. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate file number 1. Third reading amendment number 5. Budgets affected. 39. Wildlife Natural Resources Trust.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I move this amendment. We talked about this on the second reading. We have $1 million. We tried to take that out, and we agreed leave it there on the front end on the project side. I was a slow convert to the Wildlife Trust Fund. I voted against funding it several times, and finally I saw the light of the critters out there and the habitat that needed to be done. And last year I had an idea that we didn't get around to fund it and stuff like that. But the problem that I see now is we have two programs that I know of that have trust funds that we've loaded and guaranteed them. One was the Hathaway. Excuse me, Mr. President, for mentioning them, but it won't work if I don't. And we front-filled that to make it work before we went through the 8 years and had the money in the corpus and had it coming out. Probably was a good idea. The other one is here and is the Wildlife Trust Fund. And this is my chairman back there said, this is one of the best-run trusts there is in the state. It does a lot of good. But what we're looking at is the market goes down, the budget's going to fluctuate on them. And we've guaranteed the budget, the market, basically, for them for the return up until now. And granted, the market's hitting the skids. But if we take this $1 million that we're going to put on the front end, tell them to get used to what they're doing in their day-to-day operations for the money made off of the investment, and we put the $1 million in the corpus, what we're doing is we're saving that $1 million. We're bumping up not as much as it would be if you just gave them the $1 million to spend, but we'll get to use that million over and over and over again. And I'm not much of a stock guy, but the guy that does my little retirement thing tells me over and over, when the market's down, that's when you buy. That's what this does.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. Rising against the amendment, the previous speaker cited a couple of the other accounts, a couple of the other endowments that we're funding. And just a reminder to the body, with regard to the Excellence in Higher Education account in this bill, is about $3.5 million that goes directly into the expenditure account because of the financial stress that it's suffering. And with regard to the Hathaway, I believe it was on second reading, we put some language in allowing the treasurer to be able to borrow some money if we come back or before we come back if there's some problems with that. So we understand with these other endowments that they're going through some very stressful times, and that's exactly what's happening with the Wildlife Trust Fund. As a reminder, the amount of funding that they've had available to provide in grants has gone from 2.2 million to 4.6 to 8.4, and now will drop to 3.5 without this amendment. The amendment of $1 million will get them partially back to where they are today, and I would maintain that the use of that $1 million is much more important there than it is being put into an endowment. From the very start, the agreement that we've had with the trust fund board is that we would slowly build up the trust fund. And every time we've been down here, we've been putting money into the hat, you know, a little bit more, and slowly building up that amount so that generates a great deal of money. We can't do that this session because of the realities. However, we can help them out and offer them a little bit of money so that they can hold on to what they built up for the last 3 years. So I was saying, if we're going to devote $1 million to this trust fund, then it's much more wisely being spent in the expenditure account than in the corp at this time, just like we're doing with some of the other endowments in this bill.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just as a point of a clarification, I did stop at the treasurer's office. I asked him how these funds were invested. They're actually in the agency pool, so that's bonds, long-term investments. That's not stocks. So I'm not sure what the bond market is doing today, whether it's high, low, or whatever, but I don't think it has the attractiveness of the low stock market.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, parliamentary inquiry. Is it the view of the chair that our rules require a roll call vote on this amendment?
No, I don't believe so, since it's neutral.
Mr. President. I therefore request the ayes and nays.
Okay, thank you. Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, on and against the amendment, Mr. President,
the bill for the projects that are coming out by the Wildlife Trust Fund has been held up due to an unfortunate family emergency on the part of the executive director. So the list of the projects for this year have not been distributed on the floor yet. But trust me, I guess that's what I'm going to have to say. Trust me, these are very valuable projects throughout the state, and they touch into just about every district in this state. The Wildlife Trust Fund has, and I think the thought process that the sponsor of this amendment has gone through with a lot of people. It started with a lot of skepticism, and I think it's proven itself through the executive director himself, through the trustees, the chairman of which is a former esteemed member of not only of the Senate, but a former chairman of the committee that I now chair. They have done an outstanding job. The projects are all worthwhile, and if we pass this amendment, we will be crippling them for this year. Make no mistake about that.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm very concerned about investment policy and how we get the maximum return as we go forward into the future. And this one's kind of a no-brainer when you think about it. Would you rather have your moldy old money sitting in a bank, or would you rather have your money put to work saving for future generations the wildlife heritage of this state? The sooner we get projects on the ground, the better we can make sure that our kids have a better future. That's a heck of a lot better than leaving it rusted in a bank.
Senator Landon.
Mr. President, I had the privilege to sit in with our good chairman from Sheridan County on some committee work in December, and I just want to say that I'm going to not support this amendment. The reason is I was so impressed with the work that's being done in this area, and I really believe that it's withstood the scrutiny of that committee, the scrutiny of our appropriations group, and it's been determined that we need to invest a little bit in the projects for this year. And I support that.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly, then, if we pass this, all of the work over the past year has been for naught. And at least if we can give them a heads up in the coming year that we're going to pull back the funding, but they've gone to a lot of work, put together these projects. They're worthwhile. So let's honor the previous year's work and vote no against the amendment.
Further discussion? The question is, shall amendment, third reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 1 pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings? Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
No.
Martin?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 8 ayes, 22 noes.
Amendment number 5 have failed. We're ready on amendment number 6. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 6, budgets affected. Number 39, Wildlife Natural Resources Trust.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, move for adoption of third reading amendment number 6. To Section 39, Wildlife Natural Resources Trust. Members of the Senate, I bring back for our consideration today a follow-up to the amendment I ran on second reading where I took the entire $1 million out and I cut that back to $750,000. Now, we've heard things on the previous amendment that are relevant to what we're talking about. I like the Wildlife Trust Fund. I agree with everything that's been said. Incredibly well-managed, good projects out there. But then I heard one of my colleagues stand up and say, if we take any of this $1 million away, we'll cripple them. We'll cripple them. Members of the Senate, I just don't agree with that. We'll be back here next February in the budget session. We all came down here with the understanding that we had to pull our wings in. The rationale for the $1 million increase, the return was not there so that they could generate the type of income they needed to finish up all the projects. Well, don't finish up all the projects right now. Finish up as much as you can with the money you came and got appropriated to do. A year ago, the money was appropriated. What this amendment does, it comes in and it says, we're going to hold harmless what you're doing out there. Even though we all know that economic times are different. Out there in the real world, if you're going to build a building, and you go out there and you say, you put money aside into a capital account to build a building, comes time to build the building, you don't know of any way to put any more capital into it, you build a building that you can afford to build. So let's let them make some adjustments. They have significant monies in this fund. They can come back to us next February when we're in the budget session and fund this amendment, if we need to, in the budget session where it probably deserves to be funded anyway. So in a conservative approach to what we're doing here looking at the budget, I'd ask that you reduce this $1,750,000 and leave $250,000 in.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I won't repeat what my colleague from Park County said about how well the program's run and the benefits of it. I just want to bring to the body's attention the sheet that we were all provided relative to the history of this in terms of spending. And when you look at this, in 2008, they had $7.4 million available. Okay? They only spent five. They rolled $2.5 million into 2009. Then they put in their interest, and this is all as of January. This is their sheet, not mine. $5 million that we already put in the budget session. $5 million plus $4 million plus $2.5. They have $11.5 million available in 2009. Allocations to date are $5.3 million, and I understand from my colleague from Sheridan County there are more, but if you look at the pattern here, they're not going to have that money to spend or the projects will be funded. Then you roll the $6.2 million into 2010 plus the interest income. I would submit to you that they're going to have enough money to do their program this year as well as next year, and the $750,000 will not affect it. If you just look at this sheet, that's all I'm saying, Mr. President. Just strictly look at the numbers, the programs they have. All you're doing is building up a big account that they're going to have in 2010, and we do come back, and we start the budget cycle over again in 2010. They really don't need, you could argue that they only need, if you look at the consistency of how the programs run, you could argue they don't need near the $5 million we gave them in 2008 for their budget session. I only point that out as a way to look at the program and the funding and the money that's available.
Senator Massey.
With regard to those numbers, keep in mind that they still have half of this year to go through and make those additional expenditures. They're not going to have the carryover that was just portrayed, and they're not going to have that level of funding, even after interest is considered, that it comes anywhere close to what they have right now. Okay, this year, they're going to, for next fiscal year, they're going to suffer a decline. The $1 million will help soften it, but they will not have as much money to spend as they do this year. And that's fine. I mean, lots of programs are going to go without the kinds of funding that they had intended. However, we've heard from everybody how well run and how well managed this particular program is and how effective it is and how well our money has been invested and how well it's been invested in preserving our environment and our wildlife and natural resources out there. Okay. So if we were to take a look at the rest of this budget bill, okay, you're going to see lots of additional spending in here. We can afford it. We're saying that we can afford it. We're just simply saying that we can't provide as much money as we have provided in the past for some of these entities or for some of these particular programs, no matter how valuable they are. There's multi-million dollars worth of additional spending in here. All we're saying is that for this one particular program, $1 million devoted to it is not only a good investment, but it will continue to sustain the great results that we have received in the last several years.
Question been called for. Question is, third reading amendment number 6 to Senate File 1. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
No.
Martin?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 11 ayes, 19 noes.
Amendment number 6 have failed. We're on amendment, third reading, amendment number 7. Reading clerk, please read an amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 7, budgets affected, number 39, Wildlife Natural Resources Trust.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I am going to withdraw this amendment simply because I really couldn't get the information soon enough on how the tobacco trust fund spending the money, which may be an even better argument for this amendment, but I just don't have the information behind it at this time, so I'll withdraw this amendment.
Amendment number 7 has been withdrawn. We're on a third reading amendment number 8. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 8. Budgets affected, 45, Department of Transportation.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President. This is the amendment that I had yesterday, on second reading, that there was a constitutional issue brought forth on it, and that I know that's been discussed. And this is, again, it's for the design environmental impact and purchase of right-of-ways for the road between Green River and Rock Springs, the service road. This would be a benefit not only to the people in the communities, but to people in the entire state. This road could be utilized by anyone, Mr. President, that was going through that area. It'd be about 18 months to complete the total studies between the environmental impact and buying the easements. It gives the communities an opportunity to purchase ensure that they have the additional funding or the funding they need for the entire project. And as I stated, this is to help develop the infrastructure. It's a economic development tool for the communities also in helping with the additional development of infrastructure. They can certainly support an expansion in housing and industry in the area. So, Mr. Chairman, I ask for your favorable consideration on this.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The legislature has worked for many years to not micromanage highway construction in this state. In fact, decades ago, prior to World War II, if I remember right, they set up the Highway Commission, and it's now the Transportation Commission, to put full-time efforts on the planning of the transportation system in the state of Wyoming. And each regional district, each district by region, has representatives on this commission to represent their areas. In addition to that, YDOT uses scientific principles to create their maintenance and rebuilding plan, the STIP. Shake your head yes. And it's all done very scientifically, and we've allowed them for these decades to do it the way it should be done instead of micromanaging like this. I would ask that the Senate resist this amendment, and it isn't broken, so let's not fix it.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, my distinguished colleague from Laramie County has given you the argument why this is bad public policy for us to be going to say which roads are going to be built. It is also, as was pointed out on second reading, blatantly unconstitutional. When you look at Article 3, Section 27, the legislature shall not pass local or special laws in any of the following enumerated cases, as say, granting divorces, laying out, opening, altering, or working roads or highways. And then it goes on to a further list of them. This is something we shall not do. It's about as blatantly unconstitutional as anything I've ever seen here. So it's both bad public policy and unconstitutional. I would urge us to vote no.
Senator Von Bladeren.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to argue the constitutionality of this. I really don't feel that strongly that it is, but because we definitely send money in different directions. But I will tell you, there's $25.7 million left in that $200 million that this purports to take it from. So we had $200 million. They spent all but $25.7. As of about 40 days from now, $16.7 that is scheduled to be let in contracts, which will leave you $9 million left. That $9 million left, it's divided between the RAP and the IRP program, RAP being road-milled asphalt product, IRP being industrial road program. So what you're saying is that we are going to decide that one project or parts of several projects will not happen because we're going to tell them to take $3 million out to do this, one specific part of I-80, while the committee as well as the department is looking at all of I-80. So I ask you to resist this amendment.
Further discussion? Senator Hastert, for your second time.
Mr. President, I would argue that this section is broken. This is one of the highest used sections of Interstate 80. This is noted to be one of the highest traffic areas in the state for this interstate. And we have businesses all around that area that depend upon this, as well as tourism that rely heavily on this section of highway. That's been closed for quite a few days in the past year. So, Mr. Chairman, it is broke, and all we're asking for is the ability to begin the initial purchase of right-of-way and the design for this project, not for actually building the highway. They would secure those funds at a later time.
The question is on third reading, amendment number 8 of Senate File 1, shall it pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, this...
Okay, excuse me. I thought it was...
Aye and ayes.
I thought it was transferring. The roll call. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria? Dockstader?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
No.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
Basie? No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 5 ayes, 25 noes.
Amendment number 8 have been defeated. We're on amendment number 9. The reading clerk will please read in the third reading amendment number 9.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 9, budgets affected 48, Department of Health.
Senator Schiffer, Nicholas, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 9 to Senate File 1. Folks, what this does is replace the amendment that we had, the co-amendment on second reading. What it does is take a little bit different approach to the same issues. It says, let's take a look at science-based best practices for these dual diagnosis folks. And then with respect to the report, what we'd like to have is an analysis of how to use existing resources more efficiently and, if deemed necessary, recommendations for additional funding. So it does not direct anybody to put anything in the budget. We'll leave that to legislators after they analyze the report. I would urge your support of the amendment.
Senator Cove.
Mr. President, I urge support of the amendment. We talked about this yesterday, the sponsors and I. Brings more people to the table to have a dialogue about this issue, and I think it's a good amendment that takes my amendment and makes it a little bit better.
Further discussion? The question is, should third reading amendment number 9 to Senate File 1 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment has passed. Third reading amendment number 10. Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading number 10, budget affected, Section 48, Department of Health.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, and also Mr. President, in case there's any confusion, I will call for the yeas and nays. Mr. President, what this amendment does is it gets us started on dealing with a desperate problem we have, that is, we don't have enough primary care in this state. And what it does is it says if the Medicaid funds are going to be adequate, so that we can do this without having to appropriate additional money. It authorizes Department of Health, tells the Department of Health, says the Department shall, increase the reimbursement for primary care by $1 million in general fund and the associated federal funds. And the reason it's written that way is, frankly, we don't know what our matching percentage with the federal government's going to be. It seems very likely that the stimulus package is going to change that. If that passes successfully, gets implemented, then it's very likely this money will be available, and this will cause the increase in the expenditures in the primary care area. And that's very important, Mr. President, because we are simply seeing shortage of primary care all over the state. I've seen it in my community where people simply cannot obtain a physician, and these reimbursement issues are absolutely critical there. So I think it's time that we got started with our program in doing what we can to increase the reimbursement there and enable us to go out and recruit more primary care physicians, enable us to retain them. You can see how it's worded as to what's primary care and what isn't, and notice that it is more than just physicians. It's the physician assistants and the advanced nurse practitioners as well. Mr. Chairman, this is one of the really serious problems we have in the health area, is the shortage of professional providers in this particular area. It's time we got started doing something about it, and this is an attempt to address that problem.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, a couple questions for the sponsors. This is the second year of a biennial budget, and I sympathize with what the sponsor's doing. However, when you start playing with those reimbursement rates, on June 30th, 2010, this legislation goes away. And as I understand the way the system works, one, and this is my first question, actually, the Department of Health can shift rates now if they wish to. They don't for all sorts of, I'm sure, good reasons. But they can do it right now. They already have the authority. But the second thing is, are we really going to get done what we want done in a budget amendment, or should this be something that we systematically look at and say, here's the policy going forward, not only for the year 2009-2010, but forward in terms of health policy?
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr.
President, I appreciate the question from the good senator in Johnson County, and I think he's probably touched on something that the Management Council or Labor and Health Committee can visit about. But, you know, I hearken back to something else that the good senator said to me not long ago, and that was that the primary care physician in his area, he just wants to get home at a reasonable hour. Well, unfortunately, this particular amendment won't do anything about that, but what it will do is take us a step in the right direction of getting a Band-Aid put on this thing. When the senator's right, it might take a tourniquet in this issue. We're bleeding a little bit here. I've got information in front of me here that says that we're operating here in Wyoming at two-thirds capacity. That's what's going on out there. We're at two-thirds with our primary care as compared to the nationwide average. It creates a particularly difficult situation, you all, for our smaller communities and for our physicians in those small communities when they're living right next door to some of these Medicaid patients, their friends, even relatives, and they're trying to operate their business and stay afloat. I think this is a good step in the right direction with the help of some very good colleagues in this chamber. I think we've put some very careful safeguards there. I think it's a step in the right direction. Would appreciate your support.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. And as we begin to look at these provisions to say if money comes down, things look great, we would like you to increase these programs, we need to be very cautious. One of the things that we've talked about in the economic stimulus amendment is to direct that wherever that money goes, whether it's in the health or highways, that it does not go into the standard budget. The effect of this amendment is that if the stimulus dollars come in, it would direct that $1 million of those go in, or that actually if by you essentially look a snapshot of this fiscal year, then you build up an account or an obligation, if you will, that goes on. So this becomes a $2 million obligation in the next biennium, given a higher priority than all other items. And the stimulus dollars fall away. We come back and we have a tight budget, and the obligation has been created. So it's unlike the protection we put in the stimulus dollars. And I'm not sure how these stimulus dollars are going to be spent. I know there's a lot of need out there, and it'll be consumed, and maybe this will become a high priority. But if we had the money, and it was here today, and we sat down, first thing we do is go out and interview and find out from the agencies what are your priorities, where they are. And Well, I acknowledge that the sponsor of this amendment is probably as aware as anybody in this body of the priorities and what they are. Nevertheless, we all have our personal biases. And this is not the time to begin implementing your personal bias into spending later before we've seen it and given an opportunity to look at the whole picture. So I would urge that you'd resist this amendment.
Senator Ross. Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And while I do have a bias in this area and have demonstrated it before by bringing amendment to in previous sessions to increase the reimbursement rate for primary care providers, folks, don't think about this. We are spending, we're paying for this right now, whether or not we pass this amendment or not, simply because we cost shift a tremendous amount of money because we don't provide for adequate reimbursement. These are real costs to these providers. We need them here. We don't reimburse them on a full amount of what it costs to deliver that product. And so we pay for it elsewhere, whether it be in private insurance or in emergency room, which is extremely higher than the primary care. And we need to address this issue. And to think that we can, if I think the purpose of this amendment is to look forward. We try to do it responsibly, say if there's the money there. We didn't just grab $1 million from somewhere. But, folks, we have a real problem here. There's no doubt. And we are paying for that right now, regardless of what you think. We are paying for it in one form or fashion right now. And this is an attempt to try to get to deal with some of that cost shifting.
Further discussion? Senator Nicholas, for your second time.
Mr. President, I would like to address the cost-shifting argument. You know, we had obstetricians that were delivering, and the notion was that we weren't covering enough of their costs. We were losing the obstetricians. We bumped up their fees substantially in order to keep those doctors here, and I can guarantee you they didn't lower their fees on their private side. They just made more money. Now, I'm not saying that they don't deserve more money, but believe me, if you think that by increasing your Medicaid reimbursement that your physicians are going to charge you less, it doesn't work that way.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes the second term? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, the obstetricians were mentioned. We did this sort of thing there. And it worked. We were losing obstetricians. They were quitting. We were losing family practice doctors who were quitting the obstetrical practice. That effort, when we increased those reimbursements, has meant that service has stayed in place. The cost shifting that I think is really relevant here is that if the people don't have the private doctor, they're going to have to go to the emergency room in the Medicaid program, which they can do. And it will cost us more. The senator from KC mentioned that do we have a systematic problem here? Basically, as I understood the question there in the whole health policy area. Yes, we do. We've attempted several times to address it. Those attempts have been resisted and have failed. And our budgeting process in this area simply broke. It is not functioning effectively. And this amendment and the fact we've seen these amendments time and time again are evidence of that. We need to do something more systematic to fix the process. And then is this a personal prejudice? Mr. President, I resent that remark. Mr. President, when I was going door to door in the campaign, I met any number of my constituents, particularly the ones with young families that were new in our community, that had moved in to take advantage of the economic opportunities that are here in Wyoming, that frankly our nation's need for our oil and gas have created. And I met an awful lot of them. I met a tremendous number of three-year-olds, too, in the Barnon area, in my district. And those families were almost universally having trouble finding a physician. And I heard that complaint time and time again. And I know from the work I've done, Committee 10, both the official formal committee work and the work I've done with the other organizations, that we've got a shortage of primary care. It's a national shortage. Wyoming has it worse because our reimbursements are worse for a number of reasons. So I know this is the problem. This is the solution to the problem that any number of my constituents are deeply concerned about. And that's why I bring this amendment. It's something that the people I represent, and I would suggest to you the people that you all represent, need to have done. We need to improve the reimbursement here so we can attract more of this type of physician who are in desperate short supply. And I urge the Senate to adopt the amendment.
Question is, third reading amendment number 10 to Senate File 1. Will it pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson? No. Bebout? No. Burns? No. Case? Aye. Coe? No. Cooper? No. DeCaria? Aye. Dockstader? Aye. Esquibel? Aye. Geis? No. Hastert? Aye. Honeycutt? Aye. Jennings? Aye. Johnson? Aye. Landon? Aye. Larson? Aye. Martin? Aye. Massey? Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey?
No.
Bonflatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
No.
Case, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 17 ayes, 13 noes.
Amendment number 10 have passed the Senate. Senator Von Flavin.
Mr. President, on a lighter note, if I could have privilege of the floor.
You may.
Fellow senators, in the East Balcony is your state 4-H leadership team, their youth representing nearly 7,000 4-H members in the state of Wyoming. Would you welcome them to the Senate?
Welcome. We're glad to have you today. Our next amendment is third reading amendment number 11. Would the reading clerk please read it in?
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 11. Budgets affected, 48, Department of Health.
Senator DeCaria.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would move third reading amendment number 11 to Senate File 1. And, Mr. President, I would ask that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. Mr. President, what this does is it restores funding for the County Cancer Resource Coordinator positions that were funded over the last couple of years. Mr. President, this was in the governor's budget until the revision that in the January revision of the budget, at which time that it fell out and JAC didn't restore this. Mr. President, what this program has done, it has set up county coordinators to help to go out and help people with problems that they may run into as far as cancer screening and treatment. For example, some of the things that they would do is set up cancer screenings for various types of cancer. That could be prostate, it could be breast cancer, it could be colorectal cancer. They set up programs in order to help facilitate that, to make that widely available and publicize that to people in the community. They do other great things, Mr. President. One of the things that they also do is if someone comes in that heaven forbid, that they have cancer, they also can help them to find the best available avenues for treatment. I know in the one in Uinta County, they can even and have tried to help them make contacts with the Huntsman Cancer Institute that's down in Salt Lake City, a huge cancer treatment facility. And so they can help them not only find out how best to get into those treatment programs, but also other methods that may be available to help them as far as funding and just help them navigate them through the process. The first year that this was set up was in 2007, Park, Uinta, and Converse counties were the first ones to come into this system and set this program up. It was very, very effective as far as getting the knowledge out to people about programs and availability of some of these screening programs that are available to people in the state of Wyoming to help try to prevent or at least have early detection of cancer. Which, as everyone I'm sure knows, Mr. President, the earlier any of these cancers is detected, the greater the chance of the cure for those cancers is. Mr. Chairman, a couple other programs have come online that it would be in Albany and Laramie counties. These programs have been set up. And, Mr. Chairman, what the original funding that was going to do with the $495,000 was going to help even move this program further into a more regionalized system so that you could go out and expand the service to all the citizens of the state. I know in the program in Albany County, there are some of those smaller communities that actually even go into Carbon County where those people go to Albany for medical treatment. And so they have already provided some of that outreach for those citizens of the state and made some of these programs available. Mr. President, you know, this is my one and only amendment. I understand the state of the budget as well as anyone in the room, and I know where we're at as far as that. And so, Mr. President, this is the one that I thought really needed some help as far as in order to help this program function and move forward. Mr. President, this money is not coming out of the general fund. It comes out of the tobacco settlement funds that I am sure every member of the body is aware of. There is funds that are available for appropriation. Mr. President, this is only about 1/15 of those funds that's available for appropriation in there. Mr. President, this funding would allow this program to move forward. And, Mr. President, I would argue that it also is a cost-effective program because every one of these early detections in the cancer treatment field that we make, we save a lot of money because it's an expensive thing, cancer
Time.
Treatment.
Time.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, you already know a bit of my story, and all I can say is I just would like to reiterate the value of early detection. And that's the best weapon you have, regardless of the nature of the cancer that you have. I would submit to you that there is an absolute direct connection between the former and the latter, former being tobacco, the latter being cancer. And I would just really hope that you would support this amendment.
Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Along with my colleague from Uinta County, this is the only amendment I'm on in all of this. And along with the majority floor leader, it's quite personal. I'm a cancer survivor. My wife's a cancer survivor. And it was caught in both of our cases really early. So we've been in remission for years. But I always have that fear. One of the things that I really admire in the Laramie County program is that we have a lot of non-governmental organizations, causes, if you want to, for this, that, and the other. This position also wraps all of them together as a coordinator, so we can have common programs and common pushes on all types of cancers. I think that... As again, my friend from Uinta County said, this is planned on moving out into the other counties on a regional basis. And that's the way we do things in Wyoming, is a regional basis. So it's been successful. It's a really good program. And I would like this to continue to be just as successful, only further out in the state. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Question being, shall third reading amendment Number 11 to Senate File 1 pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dicaria.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin. Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 27 ayes, 3 noes.
Amendment number 11 have passed. We are on third reading amendment number 12. Chief Reading Clerk, will please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 12, budgets affected, number 48, Department of Health.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 12 to Senate File 1, ask we dispense with further reading. Mr. President, what this amendment does, it goes to the SAGE program, the Support Access Growth Empowerment Program, and it's a very general sort of amendment. It directs them to get to provide the wraparound services, which is the whole focus, which is the primary focus of the SAGE program, and say this program actually is for the treatment of people that need the help from substance abuse and mental health. Mr. President, we've gone through a lot of information over the last couple days where money is being spent for all sorts of things, many of them very worthwhile, but some of them diverted quite a long ways from actually trying to provide help to consumers in our neighborhoods. Whether they're used to influence policy, I don't think that's a direction that this program was necessarily designed to go in. All I'm asking them to do, and it's a minimal amount, but to get focused back on what it's designed for, which is to provide for community programming and assistance. It's kind of a directional thing, and I will admit there's no science to the number that's there. It's just saying, hey, folks, let's focus on what, and you'll recall, this is a $5 million grant. Let's focus on what it was intended for and not so much on greenery up and down the highways.
Senator Scott.
First, in case of any misunderstanding, I do ask for the yeas and nays. Second, the question I would have for either the sponsor or the Appropriations Committee is, in the absence of this amendment passing, how will the money be spent? We're directing it in a specific way with this amendment. How is it likely to be spent if we don't pass the amendment?
Senator Larson.
Thank you. Before the sponsor takes another time, I guess I'm not clear what wraparound services are in the amendment. I wondered if you could give me a little better explanation of that.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, I'm aware of a service that this program provided for a young second grader coming out of an institution with mental health problems. And the plan was that the wraparound services of all the people coordinated, the school district, the parents, the counseling, the doctor, the everything, are to get together and support both the family and the child and the school in providing the best thing for this little boy coming out of an institution that we have in this state. And I will tell you, when it is done and coordinated and done correctly, it does amazing things for people coming out of institutions, and I'm sure it would be very valuable, no matter what age you were, if this was happening to you.
Senator Schiffer, for your second time.
Mr. Chairman, and basically you just heard what this program does. It tries to reach across agency lines to provide services. That's what the wraparound part of it is. Doesn't matter whether it's parole, DFS, law enforcement, those kind of things. But the key component to it is it's related to communities, what's needed in a community rather than it's related to communities. It does involve team building, does involve coordination between the community and various agencies, those kind of programs. That's what it does. My colleague from here in Laramie County gave you a perfect example of it.
Question is, third reading amendment number 12 to Senate File 1, shall it pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Cole?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Basie?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote closed. 15 ayes, 15 noes.
That amendment has failed. We're on third reading amendment number 14. Would the reading clerk please read it in?
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 14. Budgets affected, 48, Department of Health.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 14 to Senate File 1 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. I have a couple amendments. Both of the amendments deal with things that we did in last year's budget that needed to be corrected. If you look at it, you have a sheet that's been passed out to you, probably on the top of your desk here, and it says Wyoming Association of Senior Directors. That has a little background, has little things on competitive wages and local resources. But I want to get down to the policy recommendations area of that. Just basically in the 2008 budget, we put $2.8 million in there to address the competitive wages and employment problems that the senior project directors were having. And based on the the background above and the need to have those funds. The senior project directors had a survey that they did that was rather subjective, but did go out into each of the towns and ask them what they thought their wage problems and demands were. However, they didn't get to every town, and so JAC decided we needed a neutral formula to distribute that, and we used basically the Meals on Wheels formula. But there was a problem with the Meals on Wheels formula that when it was distributed, there were a lot of counties and areas where there was a shortfall in addressing those competitive wages. So what I did with this particular amendment is that I stayed in the area of making sure that it was basically a third party, or it was based on something rather than a subjective survey, and went into the amendment itself. Says a reasonable and fair distribution formula to equalize wages for employees performing similar functions based on published occupational wage information by the Department of Employment and other information submitted to the Unemployment Department as determined by the Wyoming Senior Services Board. So they'll be able to do the formula, but they have to base it on that known published data. Now we have, and this kind of works like the school board funding or cost of living adjustment. You've got four different regions in the state. So you got your northeast, your southeast, northwest, northeast, whatever regions. Plus you have Cheyenne and Casper, and so those areas determine what the wages should be for specific things. And then you also have a way that you can drill down a little bit farther, provided the employers in those counties or the employers that are surveyed allow for the public dissemination of that information to be used in this manner. And so we can drill down to where we can get fairly close and a lot closer than the Meals on Wheels formula. Now, the reason that we went to $375,000, if you add up the numbers at the bottom of this with the different counties, Crook, the Epson Center in Laramie, Kammerer, North Bighorn and Lovell, Western County, Sheridan, Powell, Douglas, Goshen, Buffalo, Niobrara, Big Piney, and Tinsley, those should get pretty darn close to that $375,000. So that's what we've done, is try to correct a problem that we had last year in the budget by using a Meals on Wheels formula to address a wage problem. And it was the only formula that we had at that time. There was some confusion at the beginning with the AG's office as to whether or not they could use their survey. They first said they could. After further review, they said they couldn't. And so this, I think, will address that, allow us to get into a formula that we can see that will work in the future and go forward from there, so we won't have the problems that we've had in the past. And I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd urge you to resist this amendment, folks. The groups lobbying for this sent out an email to all their folks and said, what would you like your salaries to be, and what's your goal, and how many employees do you have? And a whole bunch of folks wrote down, and the total of that request was $2.8 million. The JAC approved the $2.8 million to add on to already existing senior budget that was, I want to say, is in the order of about $10 million. I'll find it here in a minute. But so then the question is, how do you distribute it? Do you tell people that, say, you go out and say, what would you like your salaries to be? And some of them were as high as $25, some of them had 30 employees, some of them have 5 employees. So no matter what the number of employees you have and no matter what you want, that's what we're going to fund. Or do you fund it through the formula? The discussion was, after the amount was determined, it said we're going to use the existing formulas. Now, if folks think that the formula has been adopted for distribution and allocation to the senior centers is not an appropriate or fair one, then go back through the rulemaking process and change the model, change the formula. But if the notion is that we're going to use the formula that you all have adopted through the rulemaking process, and anybody that feels like they didn't get a fair shake comes back and asks for additional money and said, this is the way we'll get additional money, it's notion of hold harmless. And if that's your methodology for appropriating, it gets very, very expensive. We've been very generous to these groups. As was pointed out, the $2.8 million was a new appropriation on top of already existing appropriations. I'd urge your resistance.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Senator Session.
Mr. President, I'd just like to say a couple of things. I cannot vote against this amendment for the simple reason that I know the serious amount of money that the programs and these senior citizens save the state of Wyoming in all areas. But I look at this and I see the counties that probably could come up, a couple of them come up with the money that they need to fund this. But in all honesty, that the many counties that you see on this list that don't have the money to further fund their senior centers, I would urge us to vote for this, because I will tell you, it's proven track record ever since those senior centers went into place in our state. It's literally, I don't know how, it's in the millions of dollars they have saved the state of Wyoming with the little amount of money we give them to run, and the amount the amount of services they provide that keep our citizens, our seniors, in their homes, healthy with their food, and even transportation to the doctor instead of ambulance drive rides to their emergency room. So I would urge us to support this.
Senator Nicholas, for your second time.
The base budget for the biennium was $6.3 million for Senior Services Board. governor recommended an additional $800,000, which was approved, took the budget up to $7.1 million. The JAC, in its markup, added $2.8 million, which was a 44% increase, such that you're at $9.9 million with a 44% increase in this biennium.
Further discussion? Senator Townsend.
Thank you, Mr. President. All those numbers are accurate, but the problem we had was the disparity of the based on the other formula that $2.9 million was distributed, leaving these mostly smaller senior citizen centers short of what they needed to keep their wages on a parity with the other places in town or in the, but they, I have 10 small towns in my district. There's two centers usually in each town. There's the high school and there's the senior citizen center. Now they have different generations except on ball games. Then they all get together. But the senior citizens in these small towns are the hub of and strangely enough, the northeastern part of the state has a goodly share of mature senior center or senior citizens. There, I got it. And it's such an integral part of our small communities. The YO Trans, the buses that we take, we do so much of this dialysis. It's a godsend to those people. They just, and I can tell you that these gals that run these things, they are tenacious. I mean, they find grants in places that you have to look under bushes for. I mean, they really try hard. There's nothing that they do that isn't the bare minimum. There's nothing fancy. I just can't give them enough kudos. And they really need this money to keep these. I had one senior citizen director tell me, she said, we're down to where we're trying to pay the cooks $7.50 an hour. And she said, you get the scum for $7.50 an hour. Now, those are her words, and I'll deny it if I, you know, in court. But hello, does this work? Oh. And I think that was, I'm sure it was in a burst of emotion that she told me that, and I'm sure she didn't mean that either, and I'm not going to tell you her name, and but at any rate, this is really serious. To our communities in the smaller towns that this $375 would be a godsend to the small senior citizen centers. Thank you.
Question been called for. The question is, shall third reading number 14 to Senate File 1 pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson? Bebout, Burns, Case, Coe, Cooper, DeCaria, Dockstader, Esquibel, Geis, Hastert, Honeycutt, Jennings, Johnson, Landon, Larson, Martin, Massey, Meyer, Nicholas, Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
aye.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote? Honeycutt, no to aye. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 19 ayes, 11 noes.
Amendment 14 has passed the Senate. Next amendment, Senator Landon.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you. Mr. President, in the gallery above us is the state officer team for Skills USA. This particular group represents Lyman, Douglas, Casper, Rollins, and Laramie. They are here to learn about the process and to visit our state Senate. I would hope you would help me make them feel welcome today.
Welcome to the Senate. Nice to see you today. Our next Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate be at recess until 1:30.
Okay. Announcements? Senator Coe.
Yeah, Mr. President. House Bill 152 was read in yesterday out of Committee Number 4. It does have an appropriations request to be re-referred to Committee Number 2.
Without objections, House Bill 152 will be re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senator Von Flatiron.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet at 12:10, about 15 minutes, in S-13, to take up House Bill 96, Engrossed Railroad Quiet Zones, and House Joint Resolution 2, Engrossed Adequate Funding for I-80 as a Critical Freight Route.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, just an announcement for Tuesday morning. Committee Number 4, your Committee Number 4, will meet at 8 o'clock over in S-11 to take up House Bill 114, Engrossed the Community College Amendments, which is the bill as a result of the task force that worked all summer. It's a big bill, so we'll take that up, only that bill, Tuesday morning at 8.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, will start taking up bills again on Tuesday. 1 o'clock at S-13, we'll consider House Bill 111, Clean Coal Task Force, House Bill 241, Engrossed Criminal Background Checks Retirement System. Then at upon adjournment on Tuesday, we'll consider House Bill 91, Public Building Fire and Electrical Plan Review, House Bill 118, Engrossed Uniform Prudent Management of Institutional Funds Act, and House Bill 252, Wyoming Retirement System Hospital Participation.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet at 12:15 up in S-18 to consider House Bill 288, Certificate of Authority, High Voltage Transmission, and House Bill 291, Engrossed Small Business Investment Credit.
You've heard them. Motion that the Senate shall stand in recess until 1:30 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Amendment passed. Motion passed. We're recessed.